Supporters of an Eastern Bay of Plenty harbour development to boost the aquaculture industry in the region are pressing on despite the government's refusal to fund current plans for it. The Opotiki District Council and local iwi are seeking financial help to build a year-round navigable harbour entrance to service existing mussel farms and allow local processing. But the Regional Economic Development Minister, Shane Jones, has said the $145 million price tag is too expensive, describing the project as fiscally gagging. Proponents estimate the development would create hundreds of jobs and bring millions of dollars to the region. A decade's work has gone into the plan so far. Chair of the Whakatohia Trust Board, Robert Edwards, and Opotiki District Mayor, John Forbes, join us now. Good morning, kia ora.
Kia ora. Yeah, good morning, Lynn.
Mayor Forbes, I thought first of all we would recap back in 2014 on this program. We were looking at the proposal. It was still very hopeful then. But how far back does this go?
Around about the year 2000, as a community, we started to work together in terms of the outcomes that aquaculture might deliver. And I think there's been a couple of main drivers, but one of the most important ones is trying to change some of the demographics in our community, which is we've got the highest level of deprivation of any district. We have a whole lot of issues around having no future, really, for our young people and for any of our people come to that, or not a great future, not as good as it could be. So we've worked on trying to have an industry locally that can deliver some hope and deliver some jobs and provide us with benefits.
Can you describe the harbour redevelopment project? What are you wanting to create here?
Well, Opotiki's always been a coastal town and been a port town, and it's situated where it is. Historically, vessels used to come and go from the river, and up until about 1960, we had Union Steamship boats would come in and take away our butter and our produce. So what we're wanting to do, our river entrance is basically silted up. We're wanting to create a channel through the river entrance so that we can get boats out to sea to service offshore farms.
It feels like this has been something you've been talking about for a long time, but as my reading of it, there's a lot of regional support for this project.
Oh, there's enormous support, and I think one of the exciting things is that it delivers outcomes not only in Opotiki but around the country, and Robert can tell you about a boat that he's getting built in an Auckland shipyard at the moment that's got 30,000 man-hours of tradesmen work goes into it. But it delivers benefits in many different places, but particularly to us. But this is an exciting future industry. So the other main driver of the thing, other than community outcomes, is about aquaculture. And we are pushing the limits out over the horizon in terms of being able to grow things in the open ocean in a way that we believe is a lot more sustainable than some of the aquaculture practices in the past. And the outcomes being delivered, the results that they're getting, growing things out in that open ocean, is absolutely stunning. And this is some of the world's best water. There's an upwelling of oceanic current that's delivering food from out in deeper ocean waters that is giving us results that we've never seen anything like before. And our locals, some of whom are very expert in eating mussels, are just stunned at the quality of the product that's coming ashore from out at the sea farm.
I hear your enthusiasm, but I understand that the news from the Regional Economic Development Minister, Shane Jones, was not what you were hoping for.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of sympathy for the Minister. I think that at $145 million, it's a very, very expensive way of solving the problem. And it would be a great day for Opotiki if the Minister had stepped up and said, yes, we will do this, because it was while it had some high capital costs, the engineering solution had low ongoing costs for us as a community. But we think and he's encouraging us, I believe, to continue to work to try and find solutions that might be better priced.
Robert Edwards, I'd like to bring you in here. I believe that this opportunity, you said, is not totally closed. I'm hearing enthusiasm from the Mayor and yourself. Do you still feel there's a way that this could go ahead?
Yes. as far as the Whakatohea is concerned, the harbour development is essential to utilise all the water space that we've got out there. And yes, there is a way forward. It's just a matter of all of us getting together and finding a solution, and I dare say to get the price to a reasonable figure that everybody can come on board with.
Were you also surprised when the latest tenders came in at $145 million?
Yes, I was surprised that it came in so high. However, that is the figure that come across to the to Shane Jones, I suppose, to the government, and they couldn't wear that. And but I believe that the price could be a lot lower than that.
Can we find out from you what this project would mean for deep-sea mussel farming off the coast of Opotiki?
Mussel farming would not be the only project out there. We have several projects in line. Yeah, the harbour, I suppose, the project to grow the benefits for Opotiki. The mussel farm is growing from strength to strength at the moment, and the build of the harbour will enable us to build our processing facilities in Opotiki. And when that happens, the real benefits will come online, such as, I suppose, the science, technology, boat servicing and offices, etc. There's a lot of offspins that will come with the build of the Opotiki Harbour.
And a lot of the hope here would go on processing facilities, and this is where an awful lot of the proposed jobs would come, isn't it?
Yes, that's where most of the jobs will be coming from, yeah.
And that would allow, what, the expansion also of the mussel farm?
Yes, the expansion of the mussel farm. This year we'll be harvesting around about 2,000 tonnes. We're looking at, in the future, maybe about 25 to 30,000 tonnes of mussels, besides other ventures as well.
I mean, Forbes, I want to pick up on that issue of cost. When we were looking at this story back in 2014, you were talking about a seed funding of something like $25 million. We're talking now of $145 million. I'm not sure if we're comparing apples and oranges, but that cost escalation is substantial.
It is.
We had what we believed was credible advice that it would be around 50 to 55 million, and I think we were being encouraged by government at that price to continue forward. So there was quite a change in the construction methodology once the work had been done on designing the solution. I think if I could just pick up on the investment around an infrastructure is long-term investment, and when we build new highways or build any kind of infrastructure around the country, we think in terms of 100-year timeframes. And so that's what we're looking at for this, is about servicing what might be out there for the next 100 years. And I think it's important to note that currently there's just on 4,000 hectares consented. It's consented for 9 different species, mussels being only one of them, so you can grow a number of products out there. But it's looking at being, we've got scientific advice that says it can scale up to be significantly bigger than that. And we believe it will probably be one of the single biggest pieces of areas of water space in the world. The water is better than anything else in most parts of the world. So New Zealand's got a lot of competitive advantage in terms of growing product that will be highly desirable to have, that will fetch top money on the world markets. And it's just a question of how do we get out there and how do we service that space. So that's currently happening. But there's limits around how many boats can come and go at the moment from the Whakatane Harbour. And we really do need to start thinking in a 100-year time frame about where the aquaculture industry will go and what's required to support that.
So given the setback, are you going back to the drawing board, which would be disheartening after a good decade's amount of work? Or do you think you've got the basis of a good plan, but you're just going to need to think more laterally?
Lynn, from the moment that tender document was opened and the price envelope came out, we have been working in an endeavour to try and get a price that we believe everybody can live with. And our community's got to be able to live with this as well. They have to be comfortable with what it is that we want to do. So the company that's currently in the frame has just done a lot of work out at the Chatham Islands, both on Chatham and Pitt Island. And they used a methodology on a Pitt Island groin that they think that if they applied it here, they could probably get some quite significant cost reductions. So we're working through that. One of the big expenses on this thing has been the idea that we need to earthquake proof it. And we've got some questions about how much earthquake proofing we could do, but that's a very expensive option when you're building something in a marine environment. So, there's some room to manoeuvre here, and we have been working for quite some time already, for the last few months, in an endeavour to try and find a solution that will work but is priced in a way that's acceptable both to our community, to our regional community and to the government.
Robert, how important is a project like this to the township? I mentioned before that it's had tough times. You've got 9,000 people there, high deprivation, and clearly this project had given the township hope. What are the feelings after this setback over the last few days?
There are a lot of our people there. Yeah, they're a bit despondent at the moment. However, they have got the message that it was off the board, but in reality, it is not. It is not. But it is, I would say, it is the lifeline for us, for the iwi o Whakatohe and for Opotiki. Without this harbour and without the agriculture industry, we will have nothing. And our people will be poorer than they are at the present moment.
And will they leave? Will they leave the township?
Well, to get employment, they will leave the township. There's no questions about that. And our endeavours is to create something to bring them all back home, back in their own Tūranga Waiwaimeki, and employment for them and their families.
Mayor Forbes, if this project doesn't happen in some form or other in the next few years, what are your fears for the people of Opotiki?
My fears? I have no fears for them. I believe this harbour can be done. And I dare say it is up to us, to the council, to Whakatohe and all the people around us to put all our energies together and find a solution.
I would respond to that in saying that I think it will be hugely disappointing for our community, although mussel farming to some extent will continue, and I'm confident that we will have a processing factory that will give us some of the jobs. But I'm not sure that we'll get the full range of outcomes that could come. I think my main concern is around the aquaculture industry not fulfilling its potential in terms of utilising what is a fantastic resource in terms of our water, to be able to grow protein in a sustainable way. Aquaculture is very, very exciting when we compare it to what we're doing on the land. And out at sea, we can do things that have positive environmental outcomes on producing a high-value seafood product at the same time. And that's exciting when you put those things together. And I think it'll be a great pity if the industry doesn't get to fulfil its potential.
I don't know if you're a betting man, but if you were, how confident are you that this will happen in some form?
We will come up with a solution. And I'd like to commend Minister Jones. He's offered us some engineering expertise from his advisory panel to work with us. And that's... that's great to have that, and I think it's the solution is in engineering and in the way that we develop something that's going to work, but at a price that everybody can afford. So for the Minister to give us that option out of his advisory panel, some engineering expertise, is really, really positive.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and good luck. I've been talking to Mayor John Forbes and Robert Edwards.